Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Old Testament book of Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish?" And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. So far, sermon text. Are you seated? In Christ Jesus, who is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and the knowledge of the truth, to fellow redeemed. What a contrast between the man that we heard in our text this morning from the one we heard last Sunday in one of our scripture readings. The young boy Samuel said to the Lord, "Lord, speak, for your servant hears." He listened to God and then did what he told him to do. In our sermon text this morning, we hear of a man who, when he first heard the Lord, we could summarize his reaction by saying, "Stop speaking, Lord, for your servant is not listening." He tried to run away from the Lord and not do what the Lord commanded him to do. But as we know in this popular Bible story, the Lord caught up with Jonah, in fact, caught Jonah in the belly of a great fish, miraculously saved him from drowning. And in that belly of the fish, Jonah was brought to repentance, was let to know that salvation comes from the Lord. And when he was vomited back up on dry ground, God came to him, and now he was ready to go to Nineveh to proclaim the Lord's message. And what was the message the Lord had to proclaim? Judgment and punishment upon the people, upon their sin and unbelief. The city of Nineveh was a city in this country of Assyria. These were all Gentiles. But they weren't just any kind of Gentiles. They were wicked, cruel, very, very mean people. Nineveh represented the pride and the power, the brutality and the arrogance of the worldly nations at its worst. They didn't care what anybody said. They could care less what Jehovah, God, wanted. They didn't believe in the promised Messiah. At first reading, we may wonder, why are we meditating and spending our time on text from Jonah during this Epiphany season? Haven't we been told that Epiphany means a demonstration, a proclamation of the Godhead, the glory, the dominion of Jesus Christ in the person of the man, Jesus? Well, that's true, but Epiphany also demonstrates God's will to save sinners. And when God's desire to save sinners is brought together with the gospel proclamation and the demonstration of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's an epiphany. Demonstration of God's power and of God's grace. And so in our text this morning, we see God's power demonstrated as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He rules. He sets limits upon people. He says that we can go so far and no further. What did he say to the Ninevites, that powerful, powerful people? 40 days and you shall be destroyed. Your wickedness, your evil, your arrogance, your power, your pride, it shall all come to an end. But in this text, we also see in a miraculous way God's amazing, amazing grace. God wants everyone to repent and come to the knowledge of the truth. Even such wicked, wicked people as the Ninevites. And the important thing to note in all of this is that this is all God's doing. All Jonah had to do was proclaim the word. And then God caused the effect upon the hearts of the people when the message of the word was proclaimed to them. And that's our theme for this morning. The Lord works true repentance. And our first point is brought about by his word. Jonah learned his lesson. You don't say no to the Lord and try to run away. And so he was willing to go to Nineveh to proclaim this message. It's a very large city. In fact, so large, we're told that it took 3 days to journey through it. Most commentators believe that the ancient city of Nineveh was comprised of three other cities within it. You could call them suburbs. A very, very large city. In fact, it went all the way from the Tigris River up to the mountains to the east, northeast, about 25 miles in radius. Well, we're told that after the first day of journeying to the city, probably when Jonah got about to the middle of the city itself, he began to cry out, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown." Those words show three things about our God. First of all, they reveal God's righteous anger over against sin, against the open, rebellious, arrogant attitude and disobedience of the people of Nineveh. God hates sin. And God has clearly said, the soul that sins, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. The second thing this message of judgment revealed about God is that God is intent upon punishing sin. Punishment for sin will come. In this case, in 40 days. Not it may come, but it will come. The third thing is that the proclamation of his future punishment was also a special act of God's grace. And that may sound kind of foolish, but it's not. If God were going to punish them and not change his mind at all, then what was the reason for Jonah to proclaim this message to them? Except to scare them all. The reason God was proclaiming this message that an impending punishment was coming was to lead them to repent. Change your hearts, to turn to him and turn away from their sins and seek forgiveness. And that's exactly what the call of repentance is all about. The law of God needs to be proclaimed to all sinners, believers and unbelievers alike, to show God's seriousness in his justice, to show that sin is punishable by eternal death and damnation, and to show God's loving heart. God wants us to hear from the heart and then turn away from sin. That's repentance. In fact, the word repentance literally means a change of mind. With mind being the moral reflection, we would probably say that a change of heart. Repentance that God, through the Holy Spirit, works in our hearts is true godly sorrow. Sorry that we broke God's law. Sorry that we took God's law and smashed it. It first strikes a terror into our conscience. We deserve death. We deserve not just death, but eternal damnation. In hell, forever, separated from God because of our sins. But repentance, in the broad sense, also includes faith. looking to Jesus Christ for that forgiveness of all of our sins and the assurance of life. True godly repentance can only be worked in the heart through the Holy Spirit. Something that we can do. If repentance leads us to think that we can accomplish something, that we pay for our sins now, that's work righteousness. That leads to death. Sorrow, repentance without faith, also leads to death. But godly sorrow of our sins and looking to Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins leads to life and salvation. The Lord works true repentance, and that is brought about in His Word. But secondly, we see the Lord works true repentance demonstrated by our actions. In our text, we saw the remarkable actions of fruits of repentance. What an amazing story. If you study ancient history and you hear about the Ninevites, they were very, very wicked and cruel. Ungodly people. One man proclaims a message, and the Lord works repentance in the hearts of the people of this ungodly city. From the king on down to the poorest beggar. In verse 5 we read, "So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. The mighty king was so moved that he took off his royal robes, sign of glory, power, majesty, and he clothed himself with sackcloth, kind of a rough burlap type of material that was irritating to the skin. And he sat in ashes." Imagine King Herod doing that. What an amazing thing. The law of God brought this mighty, powerful king to his knees. Sign of true repentance and of faith in the Lord. A remarkable change. This repentance is not just sorrow over sin, not just, well, let's just cross our fingers and hope that if we say we're sorry enough that God won't destroy us. But it was true faith as well. Later on, Jesus is talking about the Pharisees and the scribes and their rejection of Him and their unrepentance and their unbelief. And He said about the Ninevites, "The men of Nineveh will rise in the judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented of the preaching of the God of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here." He's talking about Himself. Jesus came and preached, "Repent and believe the good news." But the people of His day said, "We're not going to listen to that unless you show us some sign." And so Jesus said, "Look to the sign of Jonah." Jonah spent 3 days and nights in the belly of the fish and then vomited on dry ground. That's the sign they were supposed to look at, because Jesus would spend 3 days in the belly of the earth and on the third day be resurrected to everlasting life. That death, crucifixion, resurrection would be the sign they were to look to. But the Pharisees and the scribes didn't repent. The people of Nineveh, they did. Finally, we also see in our text the great patience of our God. He gave him 40 days to repent. 40 days for Jonah to go throughout that city and proclaim not only the law, but also that this message is coming from the great Jehovah God who promised the Messiah who is to come to take away the sins of the whole world. 40 days before this judgment would befall them. And the Lord does the same today. When we fall into sin, doesn't He immediately damn us? He brings the Word of God to our hearts, either through some person, or maybe by our remembering what God tells us. We're led to repent of our sins and to see God's grace and mercy in Christ Jesus. What an amazing God. We see God's seriousness over against sin, but we also see His seriousness to save sinners. He's willing to sacrifice His only Son to save such ungodly, immoral, wicked people as the Ninevites. He's willing to save you and me by having His Son shed His blood upon the cross and be damned for us that we would have eternal life. We see the seriousness of a desire to save the sinners today when we hear the Word of God day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and it leads us to repent of our sins and see Jesus. And finally, we see that the Lord wishes true repentance, which is pleasing to Him. True repentance, which is godly sorrow for our sins and also faith in Jesus Christ, is worked in our hearts alone by God the Holy Spirit. We receive the blessings and the benefits of Jesus' death on the cross alone through faith, without any merits or witness on our part. It's not because we repent that we are not forgiven. It's not through our repentance that we're not forgiven. It's because we believe in Jesus Christ that we make forgiveness our own. Repentance leads us to acknowledge our need for that forgiveness and then desire to have that forgiveness through faith in Christ Jesus. Have you felt that? Have you experienced that? If you believe in Christ, you have. As we read the words of David in Psalm 51, as I was reading those words, I was thinking of the sins of my life, and the Lord so beautifully washes away all those sins. No different than David. As a spouse, how often have we said loveless things to our spouse? Or did selfish actions to them? And God's word comes to us, condemns us, leads us to see our sins, leads us to turn to Jesus Christ for forgiveness, and then brings forth fruit of repentance, going to our spouse, asking him or her for forgiveness, and then showing him or her love. As a child, you disobey your parents, sass back to them, and God's word condemns you. Show you your sins. Leads you to repent of your sins, asking Jesus for forgiveness, and then turning to your parents in love and saying, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry. Asking for their forgiveness and showing fruits of repentance by loving them. When we're led to godly sorrow over our sins, we're also led by the Spirit to stop committing that sin. But what about the sins we commit over and over again? How many of us children say, okay, I'm never going to disobey my parents again. I'm never going to disappoint my spouse, ever sin against him or her again. Does that mean that we're not believers, not Christians? Well, sometimes we might be pretty insincere. What it means is that we are so weak, extremely weak in battling the temptations that come to us day by day, that we need to despair of our own strength. And after we are repentant of our sins, look to Jesus for the strength, the courage, the confidence to be able to say no to the temptations, to put ourselves first, and to seek to serve Jesus. We may also want to find someone we can talk to, someone who can strengthen us in some particular sin we may have. You can always talk to me as your pastor, or find some Christian brother or sister that will help you and encourage you in a particular phase of your life. You know, we should rejoice when we hear the law being preached to us. We should rejoice because it leads us to see ourselves as we really are, in need of repentance and in need of forgiveness. Rejoice because the Spirit, through the law, is working in our hearts godly sorrow over our sins. A godly sorrow that turns away from sin. And then rejoice when the gospel comes and says, and Jesus has taken all those sins and washed you completely clean and cast your sins into the depths of the sea. Full and free forgiveness. That's the message that Jonah was called upon to proclaim to an ungodly city. A large city set for destruction. And many, many, many were brought to saving faith. That's the message we're to proclaim to a whole world full of sinners who are set for destruction. so that countless millions will hear the message, repent, and be led to believe in Jesus Christ. A message of God's judgment upon sin, a God's judgment upon unbelief, but a message of compassion and forgiveness upon those who repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.